The critics would try and tell us that Job was a fictional character and that all that is said about Job in the Bible is a myth. Indeed, there are many today who refuse to believe that Job was a real person who really lived and really suffered upon this earth. Of course, one of the reasons why the critics deny the factual existence of Job is because they refuse to accept the factual existence of the devil. To believe that Job was a real person who really lived upon this earth means that you have to believe that there is such a person as Satan. Because that's what the book of Job is all about. Satan attacking Job. Satan afflicting Job. And the critics refuse to believe in the reality of Satan. Thus, they will not accept that the story of Job is literal. But men and women, let me say very dogmatically, not only was Job a real person who really lived upon this earth, but the devil is a real person with real power. All that we read about Job and what happened to him in the book of Job are all facts and not fiction. Job really did live upon this earth. Job really did suffer. The devil really did attack Job. And we must never forget these facts. Child of God, we live in an age when even many of God's people have lost sight of the power and the activity of the devil. Even many saints of God, there seems to be a reluctance in their hearts to believe that Satan is about his evil work in this 21st century. It is not that we don't believe that the devil's real, but it seems at times that many of God's people view Satan simply as one that we read about in the Bible, and that somehow the devil does not really affect our lives today. Child of God, we should never allow ourselves to be lulled into that type of thinking, because as we're going to see in a moment, the devil is very much affecting and attacking the Church of Christ in this 21st century. The devil is real. And as we're going to see in a moment, he is still about his evil work. Job chapter 1, verses 6 to 12 is a very interesting portion of scripture in the context of Job and what he suffered at the hands of Satan. In this portion of scripture, we have a detailed account of a conversation which takes place between God and the devil. The topic of their conversation is Job. These verses show us clearly the events leading up to the beginning of Job's trials. But also in these verses, there are truths that every child of God need to learn and never forget. I'm sure that you have read the book of Job many times. I'm sure that you have read this portion of scripture many times. But I pray that as we come to consider these words today, that the Lord again will teach us the truths that are set forth here in this portion of God's holy word, because they are truths that we continually need to be reminded of, especially in this 21st century in which we live. I believe we're living in the last of the last days. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will soon come again. And prior to the second coming of Christ, the devil will be doing everything within his power to weaken the Church of Christ. What are these truths that are set before us in this portion of Scripture? Well, I hope that you have your Bible open before you, because it's very important that you read the Word of God for yourself. First of all, I want you to notice here that Satan is always about his evil work. That's the first truth that I want you to learn here from this passage of Scripture. Look what we read in verse 6 and 7. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Now underline these words, the last three is of verse 7. Here's what Satan says. From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. After the Lord asked Satan the question, Whence comest thou? The devil in reply said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. The word walking there means to go on habitually. In other words, to never stop. Here we have the unending activity of the devil. That's what the portion of Scripture, I believe, is teaching us. Child of God, the devil is never at rest. He's always on the move. He never sleeps. He never grows weary. He never stops for a rest. He never goes on holidays. He is always about his evil work, and he will never change. From the day he was cast out of heaven to this earth, unto the day when he will be cast into hell at the end of time, Satan will continue to go to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it, doing his evil deeds. Now we all know that. I believe we all believe that. But sometimes we forget it. But God does not want us to forget it. And here, very simply, in this portion of Scripture, we can see the unending activity of the devil. You know, some might say, well, this is the Old Testament, and the book of Job was written almost 4,000 years ago. Is the devil still going about his evil work? Well, of course he is. Turn over in your Bibles. Keep your hand in Job chapter 1. And turn over in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. Take a look with me at verse 8. Here we have Peter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And of course some 1600 years have passed since what we're told in the book of Job. And here's what the Apostle Peter tells us about the activity, the unending activity of the devil. He says to God's people, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh. Now underline that word. Here, Peter describes the unending activity of the devil in the same way as the devil is described in the book of Job. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is still walking to and fro in the earth. The devil is still seeking to pull down the Christian. The devil is still seeking to weaken and destroy the church of Jesus Christ. Now we know that the devil will never destroy the church of Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ has said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And thank God, as we're going to find out before this message is over, we are on the winning side. We are on the side of victory. And we're going to see in a few moments why we have that victory. But the truth that I want you to see, I believe that God wants us to see, the truth that is taught in this passage of Scripture, is that the devil, in all generations, from the beginning of time until the end of this age, as I have said, until the devil is finally taken and cast into hell by the God of glory, he will be continually about his evil work. And that's the first truth that we learn here. What does Satan's evil work consist of? Well, it consists of Satan accusing the saints of God falsely. This is exactly what happened during this conversation between God and the devil. Here in this portion of scripture in Job chapter 1, just turn back to Job chapter 1 again. Satan accuses Job in the presence of God of being a hypocrite. Now Job was not a hypocrite. Job was a man of God who was seeking to live for the Lord and seeking to walk for the Lord. But here we have Satan falsely accusing Job. Look at verse 9. Then Satan answered and said, Lord, does Job fear God for naught? Look at verse 11. Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. That was a lie. Of course, we know that the devil is a liar. But the devil here slanders Job for no reason whatsoever. This man had done nothing wrong. He was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and turned away from evil. But you see, this is the kind of man that Satan wants to put down. Child of God, are you seeking to live out and out for Christ today? Do you desire to walk hand in hand with the Lord? Then you're the man. You're the woman who is at the top of Satan's hit list. Make no mistake about that. If you are seeking to serve God with all your heart and with all your soul, if you're seeking to walk with God, then you're the man, you're the person, you're the Christian that the devil will want to attack. And you've got to be aware of that. You've got to be aware of that. He will accuse you. He will slander you. And he will call you a hypocrite. But my advice to you is, do not listen to the lie of Satan. The hymn writer penned it well when he wrote those words. What though the accuser roar of ills that I have done, I know them well and thousands more. Jehovah findeth none. How does Satan attack the man of God? How does Satan attack the woman of God, the saint of God? Well, we're not going to read all the verses. They're familiar, I'm sure, to most of you, if not all of you. You read down the rest of this chapter 1 of Job, and then into chapter 2, and you'll see how the devil attacked Job. He attacked his business, his farm. He attacked his home, his children. He attacked his body. And of course, he afflicted Job with boils. He caused his wife to turn against him. And he caused his friends to turn against him. My friend, let me tell you something. Nothing much has changed in 4,000 years. Nothing much has changed. The devil is still attacking our businesses, our places of employment. The devil is still attacking our homes and our families. The devil is still seeking to turn our friends against us. The devil is still seeking to pull down Christian marriages. The devil is still attacking the work of God and seeking to pull down the church of Jesus Christ. And of course, one of the great lies that Satan would seek to tell the saints is this. God has not forgiven you for your sins. Has the devil ever told you that? My friend, the devil has told me that many times. It certainly wasn't God that told me that. Because the Lord has told me in his word that he has forgiven me my sins. That he has cleansed my sins. That he has pardoned my sins. Indeed, the Bible tells me that God has taken my sins and he has cast them behind his back. He has cast them into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. And someday I'm going to stand before God. But on that day, God will not remind me about my sins. Because my sins have been cleansed away in the blood of the Lamb. And because of the sacrifice that Christ made upon the cross, thank God I will never be made accountable for one of my sins. But you know, the devil, he'll certainly remind us of them. And he'll remind us of them because he wants to weaken us. He wants to weaken our testimony. He wants to weaken our service for God. And I have no doubt that when he came to attack Job here, a man who was living a godly life, walking with the Lord, Satan's object was to weaken God's servant and to stop him from serving the Lord with all his heart and soul and mind. Don't listen to the lie of the devil. But thank God, we can turn to God's word. And through God's precious word, the Lord encourages us to trust in him. He has cleansed us and saved us for time and for all eternity. But the point I want to make is this, that the devil is always about his evil work. Listen to it. Underline it in your Bible. Read it again when you go home. Satan said that he was going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And as we found out in 1 Peter, he's still walking about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is still the enemy of the child of God. Now there's something else I want you to notice here. I want you to notice secondly, and I suppose really this is just leading on with what I said there. God has a protecting hedge about his saints. Take a look at verse 9 and 10. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for naught?" Now underline these words. "Hast not thou made a hedge about him?" I love those words. Even the devil knows that God has put a hedge about me. "Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side?" It is interesting to note here that Satan could not lay a hand on Job because the Lord had a protecting hedge about his servant. Here is one of the many things that distinguish the saint of God from the Christ rejecter. Every saint of God has the divine hedge of protection round about them. It's not wonderful, child of God. It's not tremendous. This divine hedge of protection is described many different ways in the Bible. David described God's protecting hedge as a shield. Psalm 5 verse 3, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield to me." Moses described God's protection as the everlasting arms. Deuteronomy 33 verse 27 says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Solomon described God's protection as a buckler. Proverbs 2 verse 7 says, "God is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." What a blessing that is bestowed upon every child of God to know that as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. Oh, child of God, day by day in our Christian lives, God's divine protection is round about us. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. The Lord is the divine protector of his redeemed people. This is illustrated no better than in 2 Kings and the chapter 6. I want you to turn over to 2 Kings chapter 6 just for a moment. In this portion of scripture, although the man of God, humanly speaking, was standing alone against all the might of the Syrian army, God had not forsaken his servant. And in divine intervention, the Lord blinded the hosts of the Syrian army and protected his saint. But in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha's servant, we're talking here about Elisha, but Elisha here had a servant, and Elisha's servant could not see the hedge of protection that was around Elisha. Therefore, Elisha prayed that God would open the young man's eyes to see the hosts of heaven. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not." Here's Elisha speaking. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Child of God, do you believe that? As you walk with God day by day, as you live your Christian life, as you go out to face the enemy, do you believe that there's more with us than with them? Oh, the hosts of hell are a great company. Of that there is no doubt. But let me tell you this, there's more with us than there is with them. Look at verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Elisha could see something that his servant could not see. What was it? And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Isn't that tremendous? Day by day as we go out to live for the Lord, as we serve the Lord, wherever we're at, the Lord is with us. His protecting angels are round about us. That's what the Bible teaches. Satan was saying here to the Lord about Job, has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Oh, thank God, what a tremendous truth we have here. Child of God, don't you miss this truth. Don't you miss this truth, because you know the devil would come to us and he would say to us, you're all alone in this battle. The Lord has forsaken you in this battle. But we're not alone. The Lord has promised to be with us every step of the way. Indeed, that was the wonderful promise that the Lord Jesus gave to his disciples before he ascended back up into heaven. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. That literally means unto the end of the world. Thank God the Lord has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. The Lord will do the same for his saints today, as he did for Job, and as he did for Elisha, and as he did for all the saints throughout the ages. Because God is the same yesterday and today and forever. And what a wonderful truth that is. A simple truth, isn't it? But it's a wonderful truth. Now, I want you to see something else here. Turn back to Job chapter 1. But this is very important. So, if you haven't been listening, you need to listen now. I want you to notice, thirdly, that there are times when God will remove that hedge in order to test his saints. Now, did you notice that as you read down this text? Look what it says from verse 10 to 12. Now, Satan is always about his evil work. And there's a hedge of protection around all the saints of God. But there are times when the Lord will remove that hedge in order to test his saints. Our faith will be tested. What good is faith if it's not tested? And how can we get our faith strengthened if it's not tested? The reason why God tests the faith of his saints is in order to strengthen the faith of his saints. I'll prove that to you just in a moment. But take a look at verse 10. Has not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But, verse 11, put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said, underline the words, the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. My friend, you need to underline those words. The reason why the Lord permitted Satan to afflict Job in the way he did was in order to test Job and also to prove to the devil that Job would not yield to his temptation. Job's afflictions did not come about because he had willfully sinned and disobeyed God in any way. We have already made that statement. This was not a chastisement from God because of any willful transgression on the part of Job. Now, you've got to understand that. Many of God's people today believe that the devil is attacking them because they have done some great sin, that God is angry with them. God was not angry at Job here. God was not angry at Job. God was not allowing this test to come Job's way because Job had sinned in any way. The test was coming for a number of reasons. First of all, because I've said Job's faith was going to be tested in order that his faith would be strengthened. But also God was showing to the devil here that Job was not going to yield to the temptation. This was a test. It was a test that God knew that Job would successfully come through. And of course he did successfully come through this test. The devil thought that by afflicting Job, this would make Job curse God. But the Lord knew differently. God knew that Job's faith was greater than Satan's temptations. When God's hedge of protection was removed, Job's livestock was destroyed, Job's servants were slain, Job's children were killed. Oh, child of God, there are going to be times in our Christian lives when God will test our faith. These testings may come through loss of wealth, through loss of health, through loss of family, but they will come to each and every one of us. None of us will escape the testings of God. None of us will escape our faith being tested. Now, there are many examples that I could give you in the Bible. We could turn to Genesis 22 and read about Abraham. Was Abraham's faith not tested? Of course it was, when God told Abraham to take his son Isaac up to the top of Mount Moriah and sacrifice him there. Was his faith not tested? We could read about the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 8 verse 2. Was their faith not tested? Of course it was. We could read about Philip in the New Testament, John 6 verse 5 and 6. Was the Lord Jesus on that occasion not testing Philip's faith? Do you know there's one portion of Scripture I want you to turn to. And it's found in Matthew's Gospel. And it's chapter 14. Here we have the Lord Jesus. And he's sending his disciples across the Sea of Galilee. Just turn over to Matthew chapter 14. Look at verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. Why did he have to constrain his disciples to get into the ship? Well, you study the passage of Scripture and you learn that there was a storm coming. And the disciples knew that there was a storm coming. How did they know? Because they were expert fishermen, some of them. And they could see the clouds arising in the distance. They knew the storm was coming. That's why the Lord Jesus had to physically constrain them to get into the ship here. And what we have here is the Lord Jesus sending his disciples into the storm. You say to me, preacher, why would the Lord Jesus send his disciples into the storm? Are you in a storm today? Maybe you're there because the Lord is testing your faith. The Lord was going to test the faith of the disciples here. Now, we haven't got the time to study the whole passage and read into it. You read it when you go home. And you'll find that in the midst of the storm, the Lord Jesus came to the disciples and calmed the storm. And when the storm was calmed, the disciples worshipped the Lord. Was their faith not strengthened? It surely was. It surely was. Oh, child of God, what I'm saying to you is this. If the hedge has been removed slightly, and if you're in the valley and in the place of testing, keep your eyes on the Lord. Job never got his eyes off the Lord. The disciples here, they never got their eyes off the Lord. They continued to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. But our faith will be tested. Our faith will be tested. And that's why it is so important to know these things. 1 Peter 1 verse 7, the verse that proves that our faith will be tested. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Turn back to Job chapter 1. The time's away. There's just one final thought, and I don't want you to miss this. God will only allow Satan to go so far in his attack. That's the fourth thing I want you to see here. Look at verse 12 again. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power only. I want you to underline that word only. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. Although God permits the hedge of protection to be removed at times from his saints in order that he might test us and strengthen our faith, it is only removed as far as God wants it to be removed. In other words, it is never fully removed. There's a wonderful text of scripture in the New Testament concerning this fact. It is found in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. It declares this: there hath no temptation or test taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation or test, make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Thank God, the Lord's hedge of protection is never removed completely. And even in the hottest trials, he provides a way of escape. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is teaching us. God will not test us more than we are able to endure. Thank God Job passed the test. Look at verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not. Nor charge God foolishly. How can we overcome the devil? How can we overcome the powers of hell? In order for you and I to overcome the devil, we need to remember a number of things. First of all, we need to remember the promise of God to his saints. What is the promise of God to his saints? Well, you'll read about the promise of God to his saints in James 4 verse 7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's a promise, isn't it? And it's a promise from God. Is God a liar? Of course he's not a liar. The devil's the liar. And God promises, if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Claim the promise. The problem with many of God's people today is this: they don't claim the promises of God. Now friend, in order to claim the promises of God, you've got to know the promises of God. And in order to know the promises of God, you've got to read this book and you've got to study the Bible. That's why we need to read the Bible every day. That's why we need to get into this book and study it from cover to cover. If you know the promises, you'll be able to plead the promises. And if you know the promises and plead the promises, then you'll overcome the devil. That's how we overcome the devil. Plead the promise of God. Believe the promise of God. Also, remember this. Here's another way that we overcome the devil: by always remembering that the devil has been defeated. You know, sometimes when we think of Satan, we think of him as someone who cannot be defeated. Now, he's a mighty foe, and I would not underestimate that just for a moment. He's a mighty foe, but he's a defeated foe. He has been defeated. Or was he defeated? He was defeated at Calvary. When the Lord bruised the head of the serpent. And thank God, because of the precious blood that Christ shed and because of the work that he accomplished for you and me on Golgotha's brow, we can have victory in this Christian life over sin and over Satan and over the world. The devil's a defeated foe. Always remember that. Always remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that is seated upon the throne. He ascended up into heaven. He is seated at the Father, ever living to make intercession for his people. What did the Lord Jesus say to Peter? He said this, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And thank God, as we seek to live the Christian life and serve the Lord, there is one in heaven who is interceding on our behalf. And that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, never forget about the intercessory work of Christ. It's a doctrine that many of God's people know very little about. But it's a doctrine that we all need to learn. There's one in the glory who's praying for us, and he has defeated the devil. And thank God we are on the winning side. Therefore, when that hedge is removed a little, and when the Lord comes to test our faith in order to strengthen our faith, hold fast. Hold fast. Because even in those times, the Lord is with us. And the Lord has promised to give us strength in our time of need. I pray that God will bless these few thoughts to your hearts today.